Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is September 5th, 2019.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
The phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. In case of an emergency, you can text Dan on his cell at 316-619-4886 and let him know you're calling and he'll answer. That number is 316-619-4886. You can always find our updates with the breaking news and the mission, church updates, radio program archives, contact information is all on our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com.
You know, that's worded correctly. All you got to do is read it just exactly like it says. Anyway.
And I can say it without reading it, too.
Well, that's good. Then you should do that.
Anyway,
so what are we?
We're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. YouTube and some FM stations, so please pray about supporting airtime.
Yeah, airtime isn't free, and so praise the Father for that.
So let's thank our listener base in worldwide places like City of Zabrkortesia,
Croatia,
Alger, Algeria, Mbama, Egypt, really?
Mbama.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah, there is no Mbama.
Right,
okay.
Along.
Rotterdam, the Netherlands, and Dublin, Ireland. And, of course, the good old cities of the U.S., such as San Antonio, Texas, Oakland, California, Cincinnati, Ohio, Kansas City, Missouri. And this week, Tampa, Florida is the largest of group of listeners to the podcast that posts later tonight after the program.
Right, and amen. And it isn't that Wichita is really dropping. It's just that other cities are coming up, you know, to listening. But we have a very broad listener base. Anyway, follow and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Prayer, and we'll start tonight's program. I guess we have already started. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I ask that you give us the things that you want us to talk about. Bless the people, Father, so that we can bless you. Give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Well, of course, tell them hello.
Shalom.
Well, I'm glad to have you back. You weren't here with us last week, but you did do a program that appeared on podcast because you did Omega Man last week.
Oh.
So you didn't miss anything. But you will be gone next week.
Yep. Food bank.
Food bank. Okay, so you make sure you tell them, not me. Anyway, and so there's lots of things to talk about today. A lot of it has to do with the Mission Church and Feast of Tabernacles. But this is a really big deal. Today, this was sent out by several people, but it was picked up by Michael Snyder, and he did a report about it. The biggest thing that's been hurting the church for years in America is the prosperity gospel. You know, that's like Benny Hinn and what some of those other ones like, gosh, I'm drawing a blank. You know, the TV guy.
Jesse Duplantis.
And
there's a bunch of them.
Right. Okay. Well, that's what I wanted, at least a second name. So, that you know, it's name it, claim it. You sow so much in and you get so much out. Now, one of the very biggest ones is Benny Hinn. And so here's what Benny Hinn has to say. Read that.
Declaring that the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it, controversial televangelist, Benny Hinn, formerly one of the most aggressive proponents of the prosperity gospel, has for the first time in his career delivered a full-throated rejection of the practice that made him and his family millions. The prosperity gospel teaches, among other things, that believers have a right to the blessings of health and wealth, and they can obtain these blessings through positive confessions of faith and of sowing of seeds through the faithful payments of tithes and offerings. He said that it is an offense to the Lord. It's an offense to say, give $1,000. I think it's offensive to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. I'm done with it. At one point, Hinge asked viewers, am I shocking you? Giving has become such a gimmick, it's making me sick to my stomach, he said. And I've been sick for a while, too. I just couldn't say it.
Okay. There's a couple of things here. Yes, you're supposed to do tithes, and you're supposed to do offerings. Tithes, normally, some people tithe anywhere they want. I always tell people that, from my knowledge, the best thing I can tell you about tithes is, yes, you're supposed to support the group that you're in, the place that you're being blessed from. If you're attending a group of 10 or 20 people, you know, even in a home church, everybody should be giving their tithes to that home group and then doing the right things with it. Right. You know, it should go to the church of attendance. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. It goes to the storehouse of God, and then they're supposed to take care of the people of that storehouse when they have difficulties and low times. Everybody has bad times and good times. When they have bad times, the funding should be there to help the families along through their bad times. The welfare was created by the government. The Lord created the church to take care of the people, not the government.
Right, absolutely. And that's what's wrong with the church right now, is because that the church quit doing those things and just made themselves rich through this prosperity gospel.
Right.
And Benny Hinn is one of the biggest ones. Now, here's the point. He calls it the storehouse of God. That, you know, things that we ought, that the church is also supposed to be involved with, and the government gets that by it. They say that in order to be a church, you need to be charitable and giving. And so you do need to give to the poor and do the things that is described in Acts. Paul even talked about how they would gather tithes and offerings in one city and take them to another city to the poor in that city. So they were always helping the poor. They never used it to get rich. In fact, whether you go back through the prophets or you go back through the pastors, you never see them rich.
Right. They didn't build bowling alleys and skating rinks in their churches. They helped people from becoming homeless and got them houses where they could live in a house and not under the bridge.
Right. In fact, the Torah tells us that when somebody falls, like, say, let's use the instance of somebody losing their job, and he said, they're a member of your church. Well, what should you do for them? You shouldn't tell them, well, go down and sign up for welfare. The church should then, or the assembly of the called out believers, that's what we call the church, they should lift that person back up to his position. In other words, maybe somebody in the church helped him find a job, and another one they help pay his rent or his mortgage
and
or whatever.
Utilities, so, and groceries, till he can get back on his feet.
Right, so he doesn't fall and harm himself.
Right.
It says so there is no harm done. And because once you get down to that stage, it's very hard to lift somebody up out of it after they've been dwelling in it for a while. So if somebody falls, you help them immediately.
Once you get behind, it's hard to catch back up. So you just either get right back out of it, or you just get farther down in until you're just so far in you can't do anything.
And it just makes you want to go up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And become homeless, like most of them do.
Yeah. Anyway, that movement urges believers to speak what they desire in agreement with promises and provisions of the Bible, such as an affirmation of God's plans and purposes. They believe this is what Yeshua meant when he said in Mark 11:23 that believers shall have whatsoever they shall pray for with faith. That's not what it meant. But Benny went on to say this.
Did Elijah the prophet have a car? No. Did not even have a bicycle. He had no lack. Did Yeshua drive a car or live in a mansion? No, he had no lack. How about the apostles? None lacked among them. Hinn said, today the idea is abundance and palatial homes and cars and bank accounts. The focus is wrong. It's so wrong.
Okay, now here's there's a lot in this statement. Here's one of the problems the Wichita Mission Church has had. people from listening to prosperity gospel, see, it flips around and makes it wrong. It says that, well, you know, if your gospel, if what you're doing is of God, then you're going to have everything that you need and all the plentiful stuff, and you're going to have money. And so we don't mind giving to people that have money. But because you guys are struggling, therefore, we shouldn't give to you. And the reason for that is the stupid prosperity gospel that has it wrong. It's usually the servants of Yahweh that are following him that are what? Oh, well, the apostles didn't live in mansions, and neither did Yeshua. Yeshua said he had no place to lay his head, but yet they took care of others, and miracles came forth. So that's what it created, a problem for smaller ministries and smaller churches to be able to prosper and get help. I've had that problem over years. I've had people tell me, whether it's because they read about us in the newsletter or whatever, they say, well, you know, the reason that they didn't donate was because of the reason that, well, you know, you guys aren't being taken care of. That the potter, if you were being prosperous, then that's a different story. But that's garbage. But at least Benny Hinn, what goes on in the article is Benny Hinn he's getting older, and he's really getting under conviction about whether or not, you know, he should be doing this gospel. The second thing I'll say about Benny Hinn is a lot of people he's a big faith healer. Heals a lot of people that come to his thing. You know, I'm like a lot of people, you know, if he's a faith healer, I want to see him work outside of the TV. I want him to work outside the TV cameras. I want to see him go to a hospital and do some of those things in a hospital or a different setting than just when the cameras are on him and so forth. I'm not saying that they're real. I'm not in judgment. I've never been to one. But what I'm saying is that that's what he should be doing, you know, for recognition. Anyway, but this is a big deal. Let's see if the likes of Kenneth Copeland and Jesse DePlantis and Hagee and some of these other people go along with this and do their repentance and turn away for it. It would be a big deal. It's a real big deal. Anyway, so amen. That was a very big deal. Okay, so we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, we'll start this and we'll let you start it.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall it be an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made into fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day you shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by the fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and a drink offering, everything upon this day, upon his day.
Okay, we'll stop there for a minute. So this is the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, it's very prophetic, very, very prophetic thing. In fact, this year, it will be October 14th to 20th, and with the last great day being the 21st. Now, of course, this will start of the night of the 13th, because if it's the 14th, Mother, why am I saying it starts the night of the 13th?
Because God's timing is not midnight to midnight, it's dark to dark. So the day begins at dark, like today is Thursday at dark. In God's eyes, it's Friday, not midnight. At dark tonight, it turns Friday, not at midnight, at dark. That's God's timing, and so that's why it always starts the day before at dark, because God's timing is dark to dark, not midnight to midnight.
Pretty good. Pretty good for a grandma, what do you think, folks? Anyway, so, amen. So, some of the other things that we call the Feast of Tabernacles is the Season of Our Joy. Why do we call it Season of Our Joy? Any idea?
Because it's a celebration of joy.
It's
a joyful time of year. It's supposed to be joyful celebration.
Okay. Well, it's a celebration of joy for many reasons. One, the Feast of Tabernacles is, now all the feasts are based around spring harvest and fall harvest and middle of the year harvest. That's what all the feasts are based around, different feasts that happen as celebration of
Yeshua.
Well, of course, Yeshua's in all of them, but they are there because at the end of, what do you do when you're, when the end of your work's all done? And this is a perfect example is why even King Solomon said, the Father wants you to enjoy the fruits of your labor. At the end of your labor, you have a celebration, but only these are celebrations, just like Passover and all these things unto the Father. Okay, so the people talk about in the Bible, talking about the early rain and the latter rain. The early rain happens around Passover. The latter rain, which is representative also of Yeshua, is at the end of the harvest season, you know, because then they put in more, you know, for the winter harvest, right? Okay, so here's the point. So it's time of the latter rain, but it's also time of Yeshua's birthday, real birthday. We'll go into that in a minute. But it's also this is the feast that it's also said in the word, it says that this isn't just a Jewish feast. You notice there, your last statement was his feast. That was his feast. That's the Father's feast. These are feasts of Yahweh, or feast of the Lord. If you use King James Bible, it's a feast of the Lord. Okay, but here's something else special about this feast and the other ones. While all the Jews, or all the Israelites, were required to go up to Jerusalem during these seven feast times, or three different feasts a year, but there's seven feasts. I explain that in a minute. But the point is that at the latter feast, what happens at the latter feast? The latter feast, all the nations are also invited to come up to Jerusalem and worship the Father during the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's also a feast of nations. So, and we keep saying latter rain. Latter rain is also when Yeshua returns. Yeshua returns, there's a 1,000-year reign on earth. That's latter rain. So we're celebrating his return. So let's go like this. We find, let's see if I got it. Okay. Now, now the Feast of Tabernacles symbolizes the restoration process. Now, in Zechariah 14:16, and you should all read Zechariah 14 because it talks about the day of the Lord. But in 14:16, it says, "It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." It's specifically, this is prophecy. And it's saying, now if everybody was gone and flew off to heaven when Yeshua returns, who is the King, then, you know, what's this talking about? Well, this is talking about the 1,000 years. "And it shall be that whosoever not come up of all the families of the earth into Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." Now, what did we just say? See, remember, Tabernacles is the latter rain, right? Okay, well, if you don't come up, and these nations that came against Jerusalem in Armageddon, not all of them are going to be slaughtered. Christian church wants to think that instantly when Yeshua returns, all the bad people in the whole world are slaughtered. That's not what it says. Joel Richardson, in fact, even has a really great book coming out about Sinai, which can explain all that. But the point is that our Bible explains it. So the people that are left over after Armageddon of the nations that came against Israel, along with every nation that's still left on the face of the earth, are ordered to come up and celebrate during the Feast of Tabernacles and worship Yahweh, or worship Yeshua. Okay, so, but if they don't, they're not going to get any rain, you know, absolutely. And it says if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they will have no rain. There shall be plague, wherein the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Are they saying Egypt won't come up? No. What they're saying is if Egypt and the other nations don't come up and celebrate, then they're going to be plagued. And they are going to not get the latter rain in order for their crops to work. So, anyway.
So that causes what? Famine. And that causes what? No food. And that causes what? Hunger. Yeah. Trigger effect.
Yeah. And that causes what? Plagues. Yeah. Amen. So during the feed, so now this year, we are now a lot of times, because of lack of funding or of anything else, because there's a lot of big feasts across the country. Tonight, I'm going to just briefly mention the Lion and Lamb. Lion and Lamb charges a fee to get in, further grounds and everything, so they can do the upkeep. They do have a program for people that can't afford it. If you apply to them and explain your situation, they do bless people to come for free. Now, there's some other feasts that are around the country that charge no fee at all to go. You just have to, but they're not really organized. It's everybody come and do the same thing. They get organized after they get there. And then there's another one that we talked to a fellow last year. They have a program, too, where there's fees for, because they got to pay rent on the ground, because they usually use a park or something, you know, and so they got to pay rent on the lot, rent on the ground, the electric and all that.
And they also have meals that everybody goes to together in the tabernacle, so they have to have the funding to be able to supply that. You have to be registered. They have to know how many people they have to have food for. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Well, especially when you're talking about hundreds of people, or in the case of the Lion and Lamb, I think it's thousands of people. You know, so there is a lot of planning, and it does cost money. Somebody in some way has to pay for it. But they do make provisions for the poor. There's lots of ways to do it. We're going to get ready to go to a break, and when we get back, we'll talk some more about it and what we do when we're at home, you know, and about building the sukkah and the last great day and a lot of things when we get back. So, folks, go over and check us out where?
At prophecyhour.com. Everything's over there at prophecyhour.com.
Okay, folks, we'll be back in about
4 minutes, 30 seconds.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Hey, America, time to wake up. Uncle Sam, he's a knowing we're headed to civil war. So he's got his new world order knocking at our door. Well, I think that we've been taken. It sure seems that we've been reamed. But you said that we're mistaken. That's not the way it seems. Those who know that it's time to wake up. Hey America, aren't you fed up with the
Constantine the Great has become known as the first Christian emperor. In the year 313, he issued the Edict of Milan proclaiming the toleration of Christianity, which eventually became the official religion of the Roman Empire. The fact must not be overlooked, however, that just as Christianity had once been tolerated, pagan sun worship was also. After claiming to be a Christian, Constantine continued to honor the pagan gods, especially Apollo, the god of the sun. And in an effort to facilitate the conversion of pagans to Christianity, many pagan practices were combined with the true worship of the Creator and proclaimed to be Christian in nature. These and other considerations make it clear that Constantine's form of Christianity was actually a modified version of paganism. Coins depicting Constantine also bore the image of the pagan sun god and were inscribed Sol Invictu Committi, committed to the invincible sun. In the year 321, Constantine issued a decree stating, "All judges and city people and craftsmen shall rest upon the venerable day of the sun." Thus, the establishment of Sunday, the sacred day of pagan sun worship, as a day of rest. Shortly after he made his Sunday proclamation, Constantine ordered his wife and eldest son murdered and had a bronze statue of himself set atop a tall column as Apollo, the sun god. This is the man known as the first Christian emperor. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Folks, we're back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And we're back. We're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. And let's start off with this other, these other scriptures out of Leviticus, because we're talking about tabernacles. Here's Leviticus 23:39 start.
Okay. Also, in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days, and on the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the burls of goodly trees, branches and palm trees, and burl of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your Yahweh 7 days. And ye shall keep it in a feast unto the Lord 7 days in a year. In the year it shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your Yahweh. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord.
Okay.
Yeshua's birthday.
Yeah, amen. We'll go into Yeshua's birthday in just a minute. You just jumped a little ahead of there. But first off, first off, let's talk about Asuka. Asuka, when they first came out of, Egypt, while they plundered the city, you know, when they first came out, when the children came out and headed, you know, ran from the Egyptians, basically, when they first got to the wilderness, to the desert, you know, they dwelt in Asukas. They dwelt in dwellings just built out of whatever was available. You know, there were sticks or branches or whatever, you know. And the Father, though, became their sukkah. You know, that's what we're supposed to remember, that he is our sukkah. And that by living in a flimsy dwelling for 7 days, we are putting our trust in him. So being in a sukkah, which is, you know, so we build one. So how do we build a sukkah when we're here at home? What do?
I'm sorry. Well, we build a sukkah and we go out and get flowers.
What?
And...
what is a sukkah? There's people that are listening on the radio saying, what is a sukkah? What did you do? Tell us, what is it? We get a bunch of sheetrock and build something?
Well, it's similar to a carport, but it has no roof in it. You put branches and flowers and limbs and trees and nature on top of it so you can look through and see the stars.
Yeah, amen. So we can look up and be blessed by the Father. Now, many sukkahs, a lot of sukkahs have walls on them. You know, in fact, most of them in Jerusalem or whatever, they have walls around them, but they have, it's the point is the ceiling. So you, I like to not have any walls except for what we need to block the wind out, because we have, what do we do in it? What do we do in a sukkah? So now, when we're not living out, but what do we do in it?
We eat meals in it.
When? What are you talking about?
You prepare a feast the first day, and you have your dinner and your breakfast and your lunch or whatever. You go eat in the sukkah. Instead of eating in your house, you go eat in the sukkah.
Well, right, and that's why I say speak up to the people, because see, we have a lot of people that have absolutely no idea what we're talking about, because that's why I'm asking you to explain what we do, because they have no idea. You say, well, it's a sukkah. Well, they don't know what that is. So that's why we're trying to explain it to you folks. So we build this bizarre thing in the yard that has six posts, eight posts, something, that we have a frame that we put grass and weeds and things on top
And our walls are usually just like sheets or tablecloths or whatever else I can find that we just put around as walls for privacy.
Right, for privacy and to keep the wind out if it's cold. Because sometimes it's cold, you know.
And this year I have a feeling it's going to be pretty chilly because it's in October.
Yeah, and we're expecting, and I believe a lot in the Farmer's Almanac. I don't know how they come to the conclusions that they do, but they're always pretty accurate, and they're predicting a really frigid and cold, long winter this year. And so...
Technically, you're supposed to actually live in the sukkah, which means you're supposed to come out of your dwelling, your house, and live in your sukkah. But it's kind of hard for us to do that.
Well, it's hard for most people to do it. But so how do we do that? So it's also a thing, like they travel in it. So they went up to Jerusalem, and they would go there. That's actually, we're going to get into that in a second. But so we're going to go to the Lion and Lamb. At least we're praying to. Now, the Lion and Lamb, bless their hearts, they donated all the fees and everything to us for me and you and for you and I and my son, our 18-year-old, to go this year. But now we're still trying to get our camper prepared because we got an old junk camper. We bought it 3 years ago because we have to sleep up off the ground. We're old. I can't sleep on the ground much like my wife and I because we're older, right? You know, go ahead.
Well, yeah, but we have had some people come forward and help with that. We were able to get new tires, and we've got them mounted, but we haven't got them on there yet. And we did get the tags on, and the insurance on it, but I think there's some other stuff you found, a water leak and stuff that need fixed.
Yeah.
And we have no funding to finish fixing it.
Right, there's the point. Nor do we have the, now still though, even though they're with that three things, we get one meal a day with them. Up there, one meal a day is paid for with the free thing that they gave us to come in. But we still have to figure out breakfast and lunch and whatever. And so we still don't have the money for the trip.
Gas to get there. It's in Oklahoma, and we live in Florence. What's that, 3 hour drive from us?
Four hours.
So
if it was from Wichita, it'd be 3.5.
That'd
I
be
think.
Two tanks of gas because my truck go on 2 hours because I get two trips to Wichita, and that's 120. Yeah. So it'd be about two tanks of gas to get there and two tanks of gas to get back.
So we're still praying in, money that for when we can even go. Right now it looks like we can, but only if we get these other things done. And we don't take folks, if you do want to help us with our sukkah thing, then make sure that you mark any donation for that. Contact us. Tell us that's what it is, or when you send it, mark on it sukkah, and do not take away from anything that you're already donating for other things, because that would be disastrous, because we still have to pay the mission church bills and pay for food and everything else. We're going to get to the mission church in a minute. But anyway, so Yeshua's birthday, now I'm not picking on anybody that celebrates December 25th. It's not about that. But there is a way to tell that when his birthday was. Now, folks, I want you to listen to this real careful. According to Luke 1:24-26, Mary conceived Yeshua in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. This means Yeshua was born 15 months after the angel Gabriel appeared to Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias, and informed him that his wife would bear a child. According to Luke 1:5, Zacharias was a priest of the division of Abiathar. And Luke 1:8 says that Gabriel appeared to Zacharias while he was serving as a priest in a temple. We know from the Talmud and other sources that the division of Abijah served the priest during the second half of the fourth month of the Jewish religious calendar, which would have put it in late June. The Jewish calendar begins in March with Passover. Now, 15 months later, would place the birth of Yeshua in the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. Well, that would be in the fall of the year, either late September or early October. What's late September, early October? That's Tabernacles. His conception, not his birth, would have occurred in December the previous year. Well, what's that? That's Hanukkah. Right. And the seventh month of the Jewish calendar is the month of the Feast of Tabernacles. John 1:14, speaking of Yeshua as the Word, says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." The word dwelt that is used here is the Greek word meaning sukkah, which really means tabernacle. So the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. So, and there's many, many other things. If you go over to prophecyhour.com and go to the pastor's page, you will find some links to some really great articles that will explain this process to you because, you know, folks, really, there is so much proof. We would be reading to you for the next 2 hours. And so check it out. But you should keep this feast. After all, you're going to be keeping this feast when Yeshua returns. Now then, now we also listen to this. Now, if we're supposed to be Christ-like, well, you know, Yeshua himself went up to the feast and he taught in the temple in Jerusalem. This was done in observance of the final three annual feasts, particularly pointed out in the feast of, or in Leviticus 23. But he did go up there, he did celebrate it, and it's a wonderful thing. So, pray about it. Now, a lot of people, I mean, people point to it in the Word. It's hard to do that with the ministry, but there's actually, if you go into the Torah, if you have an income, they tell you to put away 10%, an extra 10% every month for for the specific feast day of Tabernacles, so that you can go up to Jerusalem. And it, and you, in fact, it tells you to do, to go up there and do whatever manner of thing that's pleasurable to you in front of the Lord, you know, and you have the money, you put it up as, you know, you require a tent. So, but it's a wonderful thing, you know, it really, really is, and you should tend to feast. Now, when we do it at home, now, what's the last great day? The last, actually, the Feast of Tabernacles is 7 days long, but it says 8 days, because the 8th day is actually technically a whole nother feast, and it is a Sabbath. It's called the last great day. The last great day represents when the finale of everything is finished. That means when the Father himself comes down and New Jerusalem come down, and it says in Revelation, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That happens after the 1,000-year reign. And so at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, because it only lasts 7 days, the first day is a Sabbath. And then the 8th day is a Sabbath, but the 8th day isn't technically, well, it's right there. It's not, it's a separate feast. A lot of people don't point that out, but it is, it's a separate feast. And on that 8th day, you also have a Sabbath, and, you know, we have a feast. Now, what do?
We celebrate our Thanksgiving with our family on the last great day.
Now, let's not get too far there. Now, we don't give up Thanksgiving. We just have the regular Thanksgiving with the people, right?
Right.
Right.
In November on Thanksgiving, we have our Thanksgiving dinner at the people, our home church.
Right. Oh, man. Amen. But with our family, on the 8th day, we have a...
Thanksgiving.
You have Thanksgiving. Mom makes turkey and all that stuff.
We've got the whole deal, turkey and dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, the whole... But, yeah. Yep. And we have it in our what?
Sukkah. Yeah, and it was a little cold, I think, last year.
You know, that's okay. Everybody still ate up that turkey.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, now we got the sukkah. The sukkah's going to probably be right in front of the fire pit. Have a little more heat. You know, but you folks, you don't have to go to a large gathering. You can do these things right at home, but you need to make it a point to do these feasts, because you really miss out on some great things. Anyway, so we brought up the mission church. There's a lot of things going on over there. Wow, where would I even start? Let's go with this. The other day you had it was on a Tuesday, and I was gone because, we prayed and we had money to pay for tags for the bus, and it was on the last day before the tags expired on the bus. So I was commissioned to go off and sit at the tag office. That was quite an experience.
300 minutes.
300 and some minutes. Yeah, you call in and they tell you how long, you know, it's going to take.
I said, that's 5 hours. That's 5 o'clock.
Yeah, well... Anyway, moving right along. Anyway, so, yeah, it took me all day. So I wasn't there at the mission church. Well, she had a pretty eventful day. We'll go into that in just a second, but I'll tell you my day. And I did get to sit down next. I sit down to a couple of times, different places, and one time I sit down for about an hour next to this man that was from Morocco. And he had been in the United States for a number of years. And I didn't ask him if he was a citizen or not, but he was telling me about explaining to me about how over there in Morocco, he said, now, you know where Morocco's at? And I said, well, I know history, so I know, and I know geography. He said, well, you know, whenever you think Morocco, think of that Humphrey Bogart movie that it takes place, Casablanca. That takes place in Morocco, you know what I mean?
And, yeah.
And he said, and there actually is still, he was, what was really interesting, to hear him talk about the Arabic guys that they just, I can't think of the name for them right now, but they just move around in caravans like all over the desert. They stay in one place for a little while and then they move to another place and they move to, he said they still have those people over there that do that, that just move around consistently like that. And it was a really interesting conversation, and we talked about a lot of things, and he was talking about how when he grew up, they only had one TV station over there, and it was all government-controlled, not like America. You know, he talked about the abundance of America. And so it was a really interesting conversation. But meanwhile, back at the Mission Church, what was going on with you on that day?
Oh, boy. I'm glad, Lynn, thank you for showing up. A lady showed up to help me because I would have been in trouble. We still need help at the mission, by the way, so if you want to volunteer, come.
We'll cover that in a minute. We might.
But anyway, so I was in giving out the hygiene products, and I come back in the kitchen, and Lynn said, hey, there's a woman out there running around naked. And I said, what? She said, yeah, she doesn't have any clothes on. She had one of those Victoria
Secret
see-through nighty and slip shirt things, I guess, or a little nighty, whatever you want. Well, she looked, everybody was saying she looked like a stripper, and I'm like, well, where is she? And I went all over the church looking for her and couldn't find her. I said, well, she must have left. And so Lynn came out and said, no, she's here, and she was calling her by name. Well, she come out of the bathroom down the hall, and she had one of the, she had that nighty on, and she had one of the, and she'd been in the closet, and there was a younger prom dress for a younger girl in there. She was trying to get it up all, and it was so small, she had it up over her waist, but it wouldn't go on. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what happened to your clothes? She said, somebody stole them. And I said, they stole them right off your body? And she said, well, they broke in my, I'm in the trail across the street, they broke in my room, and they stole everything I got. I'm like, really? I said, well, get in there in that clothes closet. Find a shirt and at least put a shirt on, because I know there's a shirt in there that'll fit you. I'll go in the office and see if Pastor Dan has a pair of sweatpants or something. Well, I found a pair of boxers and I bought them back. So she looked decent, better than no clothes at all, I'm telling you. So we clothed her and then... Stop a minute.
Let me talk about her for a minute. Okay, now first off, she found a pair of boxers and she went to my office to find it. I usually keep a few sets of emergency clothes, like you said, sweats or something like that. Or a clean, brand new, those weren't mine, they were just a pair of boxers that I was clean, came in a donation, so I put them up on top of the closet. And I didn't realize until you told me that there wasn't nothing up there, because apparently I had used them up. And so, yeah, folks, if you want to donate something, a few sets of sweats, I'll put them on top up there, maybe, you know.
Yeah, they work the best because they're interchangeable, man or woman. So, yeah, I like to keep sweats up there. Because
they
work for both sexes.
Right. Yeah, that's what I, when I see them, man, I try to put them up there. But so praise the Father. So now your testimony is that she was in the hotel across the street. In this neighborhood that we're in, is some of the very cheapest hotels in Wichita, Kansas. They are full of some people that are a lot of people that are working. You know, and they're really trying to make it. Or some people on fixed income that give their whole check to stay over there, but they're the cheapest in Wichita. There's also some drug dealers in them
and
prostitutes.
This motel is very run down. It has broken out windows, boarded up windows. You can tell that it is a run down, yes.
Right.
Very cheap motel.
In fact, in the one of them across the street, I won't name names, you know, I even had the lady come over and send somebody over to get me a couple of years ago. To come over and bless a room because people kept dying in this one room. And it did feel like there was something weird in there. And I saturated that whole room with an anointing oil. And as far as I know, I never had a report back of any more problems after that. That's part of some of the things that we do is spiritual warfare. So you see, folks, when it isn't just the homeless, but it's also poor. That's why we say homeless and poor. You know, we help out whoever comes in. But just to show you how bad of a neighborhood that this is in, after you got that all taken care of, I understand that there was something else kind of strange.
In the same motel across the street, we've got this one lady that lives next door to us. Everybody calls her Cowgirl, and she's always bringing people to us for prayers, no matter what their problems. She brings, every day we're there, she brings somebody. She's always got somebody needing prayers. Well, he was off at the tag office. She was banging on the door to the office, and she was all excited. Where's Pastor Dan? Where's Pastor Dan? I need him now. I was like, well, he's at the tag office. He's not going to be back for a while. She said, there's been a robbery. There's been a robbery. I said, well, it didn't happen here. So she said, they're waiting. The police are there. They're waiting on backup now. I'm like, well, let them take care of it, because I don't have time to take care of it right now. I'm here by myself, Darcy. She says, okay, well, I got this 19-year-old boy right here, and had him by the arm. She said, tell her what happened. Tell her what happened. You could tell he was real embarrassed. She says, I don't really know what happened. It was pitch dark. I just know it was two black men. And I says, oh, no, you know, and I'm not sure what's going on. And I thought he might have got mugged or something. But then Darcy said, no, you tell her what's happening. She turned him around and said, his bottom hurts. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, really? I said, he needs to call the police and make a police report. He needs to tell the police. I can't do anything for him, let alone I'm a woman. He needs to wait for Pastor Dan, and he needs to call the police and make a police report. What had happened, and he got so embarrassed by her telling me that he left. But what had happened is he'd gotten raped, and that was the robbery. And they were waiting on backup to take care of it.
Okay, so here's the point. Now, while, you know, you're right. I should have been the person to pray for this person, you know, and you did the best that you could. But here's the point. People come to us with all kinds of problems, but what I'm pointing out, and yeah, I would have prayed with him and I would have counseled with him, you know, because I do that, all kinds of counseling. I'm experienced at it. Now, here's the point. And my wife can counsel with females, but this clearly needed a man. Okay, moving on. But here's the point. This is how dangerous of a neighborhood that we live in.
This guy was a big 19-year-old. He was a big kid, so it don't matter your size. You can still get abused in that neighborhood.
Yeah, amen. And so there's the point is that, you know, we're there in a very terrible place for other people. And, you know, we'll go back to the prosperity gospel. It's so hard because we're not some big success and not a big organization. We don't get any donations from Wichita. We get some hygiene things that we started now. And what's amazing about that is those folks don't understand that we actually give out hygiene and that we give out what we bring in. They say, well, you know, you give out more than anybody else that we give stuff to. But
And I'll backtrack a little bit. We have gotten donations from people in Wichita. We don't, it's not proper to say we don't get any donations. We just don't get very many donations from people in Wichita.
Right, and sometimes we go through that. Sometimes we have a couple of regulars that once in a great while bring us money, or once in a great while do it. We have no regular supporters in Wichita.
No, we don't.
The church is predominantly supported by the people that are listening to us right
Radio.
Now.
Radio. And newsletter.
And the newsletter that we mail out once in a while. So, you know, that is where we're at. Again, I want to point this out, you know. This story, I said it last week, but I want to say it one more time. Now, this is a story about one drop of wine. There's an old Jewish story of a couple about to be married. They lived in a small village and had everyone invited from the village to their wedding. Each guest was asked to bring a jug of wine for the celebration. Each jug of wine would be poured into a giant vat to be shared by everyone. As the wedding day approached, each member of the village thought, well, if I don't bring my jug of wine, it will not be missed of being so many other jugs. The wedding day arrived, and the couple were married, and everyone was greatly excited. But as the tap of the vat was opened, not a drop of wine flowed from it, for everybody had been sure somebody else would. And that's the way a lot of people look at radio. They think, well, you've got so many donations coming, I don't have to donate. But it isn't really that way. It's more like this story here. And so, you know, pray about it. Support your local place that you go to, you know, first, and you should. But that's what offerings are for. And you do receive blessings from offerings. It's just not like a cash back deal or perfect health deal. The Father says, or Yeshua said, he said, store up treasure in heaven. That's where you want to get your treasure at. And you do that by helping the people that cannot help themselves. And when it talks about making a feast, it says, go out. There's a Thanksgiving, the picture of Thanksgiving with us. It says, go out for the lame and the blind and all these other people that can't afford a feast and invite them to your feast. And so that's who we invite to Thanksgiving. Now, in turn, that has been extended to us because the Feast of Tabernacles, they are going to let us come in for free. You know, they're not paying our transportation and everything, but believe me, the fees for the three of us was about $1,100. And so, amen. So, but pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Now,
I want to give a shout out to the three people that sponsored my birthday party that I had with the people on Tuesday. It was a really good success. I made them homemade chicken tacos with cupcakes and ice cream, and they had a can of Pepsi. So everybody was happy, and I imagine Friday they'll be talking about the ones that missed it. Will be talking about missing it.
Yeah, and two, I promised my wife. I said, well, you know, I didn't have a lot of money, but I said, this birthday, I said, for your birthday, I'll take you out to to dinner
for taco dinner, and that made me give the idea to make tacos for the people. So I got a rain check.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about that rain check. Give me a minute. So anyway, over the weekend, it was impossible to do it because we had family and everything over Labor Day weekend. But so, because their birthday is September 3rd. You know, we always celebrate during Labor Day. But here's the point. So you originally said, well, Tuesday, you were going to call me on the rain check and go eat. But we both came to the same conclusion. You know, in the kitchen, I said, I have a hard – I said, I'm going to eat some of your chicken tacos. And I really have a hard time going out and eating because your chicken tacos are better than anything that we can go buy.
And I just got done telling Craig, I said, I don't think he's going to take me for tacos today because he won't be able to find a taco as good as mine. So we're going to get a rain check.
Yeah, and that's why. Hey, and tonight, you know what I get tonight, folks? Every Thursday, you know, Pastor Dan gets when he's off radio, what do I get?
It's Taco Thursday.
Taco Thursday. My wife makes the best tacos there is. And so I'm going to have Taco Thursday. And yes, folks, I will indeed let my wife collect on that rain check to get her out dinner. Anyway, so if you don't wish all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
And if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and donations keep us on the air. Now, oh, and by the way, I just got another, you don't know about it, it's in my truck. I got another case of large print King James Bibles today.
Awesome.
Okay, now you can donate online or over the phone or mail a check or money order. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Say goodbye to him. So
long, people.
All right, folks, you must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father.
Remember, always be a blessing to others. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. For praying for the peace of Jerusalem is like praying for Messiah's return.
That's a fact. There'll never be any real peace till he returns. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.